The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Well, now for the latest from the world of motoring, I'm joined by Geraldine Herbert, a motoring editor with the Sunday Independent. Geraldine, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, you've got announcements of new cars to come, and we'll talk about MG first of all, the MG4.
Yes, so this was revealed last week and it goes on sale in September. Don't have a huge amount of details on it yet, Pat. We do know that it's basically Volkswagen Golf size. It'll have a two battery capacities with a range of up to 416 kilometres, so really decent range. We'd expect this to be highly competitively priced given what MG have produced in the past. As I said, don't have pricing yet. Would expect that to be announced in the next week or two. But a very interesting addition from MG because, you know, they have been very successful in that affordable EV slot. So adding to their range now is only just good news for everyone.
Citroën C4X.
Yes, so this is a new Citroën. This is not going to go on sale now to the sort of the end of the year. And it's an additional X model to their C4 range already. Now, it'll be slightly bigger and slightly longer than the C4. And it's kind of an interesting design. It's very coupe looking. So it has this like sloping roof line the whole way down. But apparently there's no restriction on headroom. It's still going to be a very decent size inside. It's going to have a claimed range of about 360 kilometres. So again, a good range, Pat. Pricing, the C4 at the moment starts at around 34,000. I'd imagine this will be a couple of thousand more, but as I said, that's just me guessing. We don't have any confirmation on the pricing yet.
Now, a PHEV from Kia Niro.
Yeah, so the Kia Niro has been hugely successful for Kia. They have two new models coming at the moment. They have a plug-in hybrid, as you mentioned, that they've just launched at the moment, and that starts at 38,500 and has a 65 all-electric kilometre all-electric range. Now, they will have a new EV at the end of this month, and that's starting at 45,715. So that has been very successful for them. I'd expect it to be the same. It has a range of 460, which is a really good range, Pat. Yeah.
Now, the idea of getting about 60 kilometres from the electric, you know, a lot of people who use certainly SUV type vehicles, they do the school run, they do a bit of shopping, they get back home, they've only used 35 or less kilometres of the 60. They plug back in, they're back up to 60 in a couple of hours. They never put petrol in the car, you know, unless they have a longer journey to do. So sometimes I think these vehicles tell you, look, you better do a bit of driving on petrol because your petrol's getting very old.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you have the right commute, and we've spoke about this in the past, and I know plug-in hybrids get, you know, bad press at times. There are people who buy them and don't use them. But if you have the right commute, as you say, a short-ish journey every day, and you can be running it completely on electric, they really do work out very, very economical. You know, so provided you have the right commute, I think these are definitely well worth looking at.
Now, you've been actually test driving some cars, and lucky you, Mercedes EQS, EQ being the Mercedes electric line, and S, of course, referring to their flagship model. What's the electric version of the flagship like? Is it completely different?
It is actually totally different. I was quite surprised about this. It doesn't even feel like an S-Class. It definitely feels like a flagship Mercedes, but it is very distinctly in the EQ brand. It is luxury on wheels, though, Pat. It is incredibly expensive, and we'll get to that in a minute. But it really is. I mean, it comes with a range of 717 kilometres, so you literally don't think about the range. I think it's the only electric car I've ever got into, and regardless of what sort of driving I did over the few days I had it, I never even glanced at the range. It's just so huge. It's like, unless you're taking it to Cork, you're taking it on a really long trip, it is not something that's even going to just bother you in the slightest. It's absolutely luxurious outside, inside, and it has what I suppose what the kind of trademark thing at the moment with it is, or the thing it's most known for, is this what's known as a hyper screen. And it basically is a screen that sweeps from one side of the dashboard to the next, and it's made up of three distinct screens, and there's even one for the passenger. So it's luxury on wheels.
Let's come down to earth then with the Opel Astra.
Yeah, there's two new hatchbacks that have just been launched, and basically from the Stellantis group. So there's the Opel Astra and the Peugeot 308. They both come with, for the first time ever, a plug-in hybrid. So it's really good to see electric offerings in the hatchback market, Pat, because this has been quite a neglected market. Both will bring all electric versions next year, but for the moment, the plug-in hybrids are the only electric on offer. They also have a 1.2 petrol and a 1.5 diesel. Very, very distinctly different cars and very similar cars in some ways. As I said, engine range is the very same. Pricing-wise, the Astra is coming in at just under 28,000. The Peugeot is that bit more expensive at 31,000. Sorry, I've just moved the price of it away from me. But both beautiful cars, lovely to drive, and you know, will I suppose appeal to different buyers.
Now, the Polestar range is not something that people are utterly familiar with. Tell me about the Polestar 2.
Yeah, so the Polestar has been around since 2019, but it's only just come to Ireland. And basically, it's a sister brand of Volvo specialising in EVs. And it's all very Scandinavian chic inside, very minimalist. It has a vegan interior. So, I mean, it's you know, it's very cutting edge. Beautiful to drive, I have to say. I was really impressed with it. It's really solidly built. And it's, as I said, really lovely to drive. It comes in various different forms. There's a single motor, which is basically a front wheel drive version with a range of 474 that starts at 52,000. So this is pitched, Pat, just at the Model 3, the Tesla Model 3 market. That's really where the big rival is. There's a long range standard motor as well. And then there's a dual motor, which is all wheel drive, that comes in at 64,000. So it's a really, really nice car. Very unusual car. Very few on the road at the moment. But the interesting thing is, if you are looking for one, they have them like literally available from September if you booked one now, which, you know, given the fact that if you're buying an electric car, most, you'll wait about 6 to 9 months for most. The Polestar, actually, you know, you could have this year.
Now, an i4 from BMW, which was developed in conjunction with the motorsport division, the M motorsport division of BMW, and you've driven that.
Yeah, beautiful car. Again, I drove the entry version, which is the eDrive 40. There is, as you say, the sportier M50 version. What's interesting about this, Pat, is if you remember a decade ago when BMW launched their first electric car, the i3, it was very much a quirky, funky looking car that didn't look like anything else in the range. Now they've kind of come full circle, and the i4 looks just practically identical to the 4 Series in the same way as the iX3 looks very similar to the X3. So they seem to be now just producing cars, that electric cars that look just like their petrol and diesel offering. And similarly, this drives very similarly to the 4 Series Coupe. You know, you get into it and you genuinely wouldn't realise you're driving an electric car. It's beautiful to drive. You know, really, really nice car.
Now, a couple of questions for you, Geraldine. Can you ask Geraldine what type of four-wheel drive Jeep-type van I can buy that is energy efficient? I need to tow a trailer and I need on occasion to go off-road, but I can't find anything in a hybrid. That's from Des.
Oh, a van.
Well, I presume it means something like, say, the old Pajero, if you could get one in hybrid, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the SUVs are in plug-in hybrid, and a lot of them would have towing capacities, but that's what you'd be looking at. Like, the entire Land Rover range at this stage is in plug-in hybrid. So I think that's what you'd be looking at if on the hybrid. Mm. There wouldn't be much in electric when you start towing, you know, in pure electric, but definitely go down the road of an SUV, a plug-in hybrid. And there are quite a few on the market. Really depends on your budget, Pat.
Yeah. And another one here. When is there going to be a regular estate car, for example, like the Audi A4 Estate, that's totally electric? Many of the electric cars are quite SUV rather than estate style. That's from Adrienne.
Well, there's the MG. The MG have an estate car, which is very well priced. I think it's 34,000. It wouldn't be quite on the size now of the Audi A4. But even so, as I said, like the likes of the Opel Astra and the Peugeot 308 coming in all electric next year means we're finally going to see hatchbacks. They also, like the Peugeot 308, has an estate version that will be coming in next year as well as an electric. So we don't have a huge amount of offerings at the moment in estate apart from the MG, but I mean we will see more of those because finally the electrics are coming to that hatchback estate market.
Geraldine Herbert, motoring editor with the Sunday Independent, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network,
weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.